Please turn to 2 Samuel 15, verses 18 through 22. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. Then the king said to Ittai, the Gittite, "Why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I go, I know not where? Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely, in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." The effects of David's sin with Bathsheba are in full bloom. David has seen his family demolished, innocent lives devastated, and precious people destroyed, all because of the choices that he had made. He's at the lowest point of his life. His own son, Absalom, has risen up in rebellion against David and has driven him from his palace and from the city of Jerusalem. This passage before us finds David on the run for his life from his own son. At this point in time, David does not need a lecture on being a better father. He don't need to hear a sermon series on being a better father. Nor does he need a seminar on how to govern a kingdom, how to be a kingdom builder. He doesn't need someone coming along to tell him what a failure he is. He knows that well enough by now. What David needs, and what many of us need, is a friend. A friend. 2 Samuel 15 through 19 talks about some friends that walk into David's life at just the moment that he needed them. For the scripture says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You find that in Proverbs 18, verse 24. In the verses that we'll begin to study, we'll see this scripture come true. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. In the friends who came to David's aid and in his time of need, we can see what real friends ought to be. And we can see a picture of the ultimate friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin a couple studies on friends. In 2 Samuel 15, 18 through 22, we find this man, Ittai. Ittai the Gittite. It seems that this Ittai is the commander of a group of 600 men that came to Israel from Gath to follow David. Gath may sound familiar to you. As you may know, that's the land of the Philistines. It was also the home of Goliath. You might also remember that David spent some time living in Philistia, when he was on the run from King Saul. In 1 Samuel 27 through 30. Apparently, David made an impression on Ittai and the rest of these men. Now that David's on the run again, Ittai expresses his desire to be with David. Ittai is a person who has been in the background. This is the first time his name is mentioned. But when the chips were down in David's life, Ittai steps up and demonstrates the depths of his love for the exiled king. Matter of fact, he pledges his absolute allegiance to David, even if it means death for Ittai. Look at verse 21 of 2 Samuel 15. But Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." Wow. Here's a foreigner stepping up, being this friend, willing to lay down his life, laying down his life for David. Ittai's a person that steps up when David is down and out, when the whole world's collapsed on him. There is Ittai, pledging his absolute allegiance to David, even if it means death. What a friend. What a friend. This is not a quote-unquote fly-by-night friend. How we, brothers and sisters, need friends like that in our life. Once a British newspaper ran a contest asking for the definition of a friend. The winning entry was this thought: a friend is the first person who comes in when the whole world goes out. That's what Ittai did for David. I don't know about you, but I need a couple friends like that. The first person who comes in when the whole world goes out. As we go through this life, there are a few people that will fit into that category for you and for me. But thank God that some of us, hopefully most of us, have a few true friends. We might have many acquaintances, but if you have a handful of true friends, you're doing pretty good. Thank God for the people who love us when we're on the top and when we hit the bottom. If you have a friend like Ittai, then brother, sister, you are a wealthy person. Sadly, many people be your friend when all's well in your life and when they can benefit from being around you. But a real friend loves you when you have absolutely nothing left to give. Let me give you an example. I'm a baseball fan. Let me give you an example from baseball. Jackie Robinson was the first black to play Major League Baseball, breaking baseball's color barrier. He faced jeering crowds in every stadium. And I said jeering, not cheering. While playing one day in his hometown, home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. The fans began to ridicule him, shouting out racial slurs. He stood at second base. He was humiliated while the fans jeered him. But then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. And he put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd. The fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Little Pee Wee Reese was a friend when it seemed like the whole world had abandoned him. Standing there, thousands and thousands of people jeering at you, laughing at you, mocking you. And here's Pee Wee Reese comes over and basically saved the man's career. I can't think of many friends like Ittai in my life, but I'm glad that I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. One who would say that he'll never walk out on me. Hebrews 13, verse 5 tells us, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That's a friend. That's the true friend. That is the friend of all friends. That is the one who created any friends that you would ever truly have, the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That's what Ittai is saying in the text. Shall be, as the Lord lives and as my Lord the King lives, surely in whatever place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. Whether in death, whether in life, no matter what happens, Ittai was going to be there. How much more the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My friend, are you listening today? Brother, sister? Seems like all have abandoned you. All have abandoned you. Friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, everybody. Congregants. You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel you have no one. Jesus Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you think Ittai was a friend to David, how much more the Lord Jesus Christ? Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have joined you. With loving kindness, regardless of our current situation, we have a friend who cares for us. When you're up, when you're down, he will be there. I know many times, brothers and sisters, I'm not a young fellow, I'm an older man. I've seen many friends come and go, many so-called friends come and go, many more acquaintances come and go. But one thing that I've never seen is the Lord Jesus Christ come and go. David, the psalmist, said, I've been young, been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And here's David after all of the sin, all the wickedness, all the problems from his son and the loss of the child that he had with Bathsheba and basically getting chased out of Israel into a foreign land. There was a pagan, Ittai, willing to lay down his life. How much the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you with an everlasting love. Let's look at two other friends in this message today. And then you find that in verses 23 through 28. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Zadok, Abiathar, a priest. They were men of God who loved David and wanted to follow him. When he fled from Absalom, they followed David, bringing with them the Ark of the Covenant. David, however, sends them back to Jerusalem, placing his trust in the power of God to deliver him. Verses 25 and 26 of 2 Samuel 15, we see. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. David tells them they can best serve him by being his eyes in the city. Then, without comment, the two priests turned around. They carried the ark back into the city. By returning to Jerusalem in agreeing to act as spies for David, these men took a great risk. They put their very lives on the line for their friend. So once again, here are true friends. These two demonstrate one of the great marks of a true friend. A genuine friend will love you and accept you even when he doesn't understand you or agree with you. A real friend will stand by you regardless of the risk that are involved. They will stick out their necks for you. They will be there when others turn and they walk away. A genuine friend might even get hurt in the process of taking your side. But no matter when you look, no matter where, or when, or why, or how you look, you will find them standing firm in your corner. As the old adage goes, comes hell or high water, a true friend will be there with you. And if you have a friend like that, God has greatly blessed your life. Two men were out hunting in the northern United States. Suddenly one yelled and the other looked up to see a grizzly bear charging them. The first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes and his friends anxiously asked, "Where are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" "I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you." That is the kind of friends, unfortunately, most of us have. When the chips are down, they think of themselves first. A true friend always puts you first. That trust is illustrated in this following story. Sam Davis was a Confederate spy executed at Pulaski, Tennessee, for his crime. When captured by the Union Army, he had in his possession some papers of vital importance. After examining the case closely, the officers in charge knew he must have had an accomplice in securing the papers. He was court-martialed, led out before the firing squad, and blindfolded. Then the officer in charge put forward a proposition. "If you will give us the name of the man who furnished you this information, you may go free." Sam Davis did not hesitate in his reply. "If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all before I would betray a friend." I'm glad to report to you that the saints, the people of God, have such a friend in Jesus. Now, I used examples of the examples of a pagan, of Israelites showing their friendship to David. But we saints, brothers and sisters, have a much greater friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us so much that even when we were his enemies, he gave his life on the cross to save our souls. He even called us his friends when we were acting like his enemies. John 15, verse 13 tells us this: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." He is a friend who loves us like we are. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us as we are. If you are a child of God, the Lord loves you as you are. It says, matter of fact, he loved you even when you were unlovable. How much more now? How much more now that you're his child? That you're a child of God now. How much more? Let me close with a beautiful example of the love that the Father has for us, that Christ has for us, that the Holy Spirit has for us. In Romans 5, beginning at verse 5, we'll see the ultimate friend. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You got the love of God, you got the Holy Spirit. But when we were still without strength, see the condition you were in? Without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. Now, your second qualification, ungodly. Without strength, ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. So you have those friends I mentioned with David and Samuel. Hittai saying he laid down his life for him. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were still sinners, we were without strength, we were ungodly, we were still sinners. Notice, Christ died for us. No greater love does a man have for another than to lay down his life for that person. Without strength, ungodly, sinner, Christ died for us. You see the Trinity, the love of God, the Holy Spirit poured out in our hearts. Christ dying for us. I continue in Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. When people say, are you saved, brother? Ask them, saved from what? From your bad life, from bad decisions, bad choices, bad marriages, bad kids, bad dog, bad cat? No. God has saved you from wrath, the wrath of God. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Christ laid down his life so that you and I, every child of God that was without strength, ungodly sinner, who was an enemy of God, Christ laid down his life in order that you would be reconciled to God. He laid down his life for your life. That's the ultimate friend. That's a friend who loves us like we are, even when we're unlovable. He loves us, though we even act foolishly towards him. Don't listen to him. Disregard his commands. Pursue our own ways and will, our own wants, and yet he loves us even though we don't deserve his love. That, brothers and sisters, is a faithful friend. And my friend, if you would be listening today and you're not a child of God, you're hearing about this faithful friend, and you're saying, man, I don't know anybody like that. And you know what? No child of God knew a friend like that. Because even maybe for a righteous man, somebody would lay down their life. But Christ laid down his life for the unrighteous, for those without strength, ungodly, sinning enemies. He lays down his life. Let me ask you, you listening today, you qualified? Are you without strength? Are you ungodly? Are you a sinner? Are you an enemy of God? The Bible says that you are. It says, there's none that do good, there's none righteous, there's none who seek after God. For we have all sinned, we've all gone out of the way. But the good news, the gospel is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. There's the call. There's the call. God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Are you a whosoever? Well, if you are a whosoever, Repent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And child of God, if you're listening today, if you ain't got a friend in the world, you have the friend of all friends, the ultimate friend, the best friend that you'll ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if all others would forsake you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll never forsake you.